Hi-ho there, infidels. It's 5:07, 7 after the hour, final hour of the show, and probably the first few minutes of your liberation from the workplace. But hey, be thankful you got one to go to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's 99 weeks of unemployed leisure. That can get addictive. Hey, have no fear. Have no fear. The president has submitted, at long last, his brilliant jobs bill. And just in case you missed it, here's the president down in North Carolina. He was at UNC speaking to screaming throngs of adoring idiots.
If you love me,
yeah.
If you love me, you got to help me pass this bill.
Yeah, you love me. So I guess it's all about you, huh, Mr. President?
This isn't about me.
Oh,
this isn't about giving me a win.
No, no, of course not. Of course
not. If you love me.
But if you love me, you'll pass the bill. But it's not about him.
This isn't about me.
No, it's about whether or not you love me.
If you love me.
Oh, God, we are so doomed. All right, on that note, yesterday in the Wall Street Journal, on the opinion page, lo and behold, an opinion, and a damn good one, coming from a former guest on this show just 2 days ago, and a very good friend of mine, James Bovard, author extraordinaire, author of Attention Deficit Democracy, Terrorism and Tyranny, Freedom in Chains. There's just a whole library of Bovard works that I've said for years would make excellent reading on your part. I know it's done a lot for me. So here comes this article. Let me just quote the first paragraph. It's very short. Last Thursday, President Obama proposed new federal jobs and job training programs for youth and the long-term unemployed. The federal government has experimented with these programs for almost half a century. Did you know that? Half a century. The record is one of failure and scandal. So I guess we don't have to talk to Jim. That pretty much sums it right there. James Bovard, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Brian.
If we keep on like this, I'm going to have to get you your own studio.
Well, I think it'd probably be messy pretty fast.
Well, that's okay.
It
would match.
And worst of all would be the empty bottles of Raging Bitch.
True enough. Well, there you go. Just throw another one for the brewery. it's getting to the point now, next time we get together, I'm going to at least have to try that stuff. I'll have to have something soft to fall back on. So the government's record in jobs and job training programs, for those of you who have not read this piece, goes back to 1962 and has been pretty dismal. It's been damn dismal pretty much ever since. One question I had, James, the Manpower Development and Training Act, euphemism MDTA of 1962 vintage, that Congress passed, was that the first? Was that the first of its kind due to the advances in technology, or had Roosevelt or some other loser tinkered with Singh in the past?
Well, there were several work programs they had during the 1930s. One was the Work Progress Administration, which was better known as WPA, or We Poke Along. then there was a small one in 1961 called the Area Redevelopment Administration, which turned West Virginia into the paradise that it is. Hmm. That was kind of small potatoes, and that was run by the Commerce Department. And I always like to save my enthusiasm for the Labor Department, because the whole idea that the Labor Department is going to teach anybody how to work, that's a paradox which has always confounded me.
I don't know if we ever talked about it, but I wanted to try and play into this myself. Several years ago, I invented a shovel that stands up all by itself, but they wouldn't give me a patent on it.
They wouldn't give you a patent. Well, because they figured you take away a lot of government jobs.
That's it. That's it. They said, you must know that Bovard guy. So then after that was such a spectacular failure. The government didn't give up on this, as you point out. It was I love this. I love this other quote. This whole business, the GAO reporting that this program failed to do anything that it was supposed to do, marred by an overriding concern for filling available slots for a particular program, regardless of what trainees actually needed. So these were either functionally incompetent or incompetently dysfunctional.
Are you talking about the bureaucrats or the trainees?
Both.
Well, I think a lot of the trainees had potential, and that's part of the tragedy of these programs, because you have a lot of people who that would have done better for themselves according to the government's own studies, but instead they've been funneled into these programs, and they've wasted time, and even worse, they've gotten the illusion of skills when they don't have them in many cases.
Well, and as you point out in the piece, in 69, yet still another one of those magnificent government studies basically said that the jobs program sucked. Well, no, I didn't say that. It said that it regressed, that the people in these programs regressed, the teens especially regressed in their conception of what should reasonably be required in return for wages paid, unquote. That must have been quite an epiphany.
Well, it was, that is as close to eloquence as the General Accounting Office ever gets. but I was very happy to see that program. It's happy to see that quote, because it shows that even in the first years of these programs, that the politicians, or at least some of the policymakers, recognized they were damaging people. Yet Obama last week, he called for funding hundreds of thousands of summer jobs for teens, and he labeled that investing in low-income youth. Investing. I mean, you have a. It's like pouring acid on somebody's work ethic. There have been studies again and again that showed, government studies that showed, for instance, 10 years later, 1979, it showed that most of the urban teens, quote, were exposed to a work site where good habits were not learned or reinforced. I think they might be referring to the Labor Department.
You think?
Could be. Yeah,
the Labor Department had some really exciting things, especially the Inspector General, about how that whole thing was working out.
Well, the thing that's kind of amusing is there's been train wreck after train wreck in these programs, and yet because it provides a lot of good photo opportunities for politicians, they keep coming up new ones and with new programs, and it makes the politicians look benevolent, and so nothing else matters.
So all this investment that was talked about and that the president has recently talked about, if you study along in this, you find out that it did not meet with the greatest success.
Well, it's a good investment for politicians, again, because it makes them look benevolent, and that was the reason Reagan created the Job Training Partnership Act in 1982, The JTPA provided some good applause lines for him in the State of the Union address and his other speeches. It didn't really matter that the Labor Department studies found that getting training from JTPA actually lowered young people's earnings. The same thing happened with the CETA. Huge studies showed that the kids that got involved with that had lower earnings than comparable kids that didn't get involved. Again, it's not simply a question of wasting money, though as an investigative journalist, I appreciate some of the comic relief this program has provided. For instance, CETA was big on job creation, so the Labor Department paid for people to build artificial rocks for rock climbers to practice on.
Yep.
It paid for nude sculpture classes in which people would paw each other's bodies to recognize they had both male and female characteristics. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I wondered about that was in the 1970s, and I was in high school in the 1970s, and there was no shortage of that kind of thing in high school. There was no need for a federal subsidy to have people pawing each other.
Well, yeah, but by virtue of the fact that it was available but not a responsibility of the federal government, it didn't give the government an opportunity to grow and expand and control.
Well, and maybe the Labor Department's always been biased in favor of hands-on training.
Well, there is that. And what about that door-to-door food stamp recruiting campaign? That was almost prescient. I mean, it was looking forward here to 2011.
Right. I mean, this is the same thing AmeriCorps was doing in the 1990s. It's the same thing that numerous federal programs and grantees are doing right now. And it's ironic that you would pay some people to go and beg other people to accept handouts. This is, I mean, But the funny thing is, the Clinton, the Obama people have a multiplier, because for every $5 in food stamps handed out, that generates $8 in economic activity. So we're almost there to being rich.
Yeah, direct injection into the economy. But the president also said that the that this was a large part of this was founded upon the Georgia Works program, and what a marvelous thing that was.
Yeah, well, this I was surprised that Obama would be touting that, because this year so far Georgia Works has produced more headlines than jobs. It's put fewer than 200 people to work this year, and even there, a lot of those people would have found jobs on their own. So as far as the net positive impact, it's hard to find, and it's a very high cost for net job gained. And this is also the kind of thing where people can use. You know, part of the paradox here, President Obama claims he wants to get people back to work. At the same time, he's pushing to extend unemployment compensation for another 26 or whatever weeks, which studies have shown that's going to that will increase the unemployment rate by roughly 1 percentile rate.
Well, maybe he's just hedging his bet, you know.
There you go.
There is that. And, of course, by now I think we've all learned that Obama has the ability to stuff the largest amount of words into the smallest amount of thought. So the fact that, you know, he gets up in front of college kids and all the rest of that gets them all excited certainly doesn't require any real close inspection on whether or not there's any there with his proposed legislation. I did have a question from a listener for you. Please ask Mr. Bovard, when Obama urgently exclaims pass the bill, does he mean that in the sense of pass a peach pit or pass the joint?
Pass the joint. Unfortunately, the president's policy in medical marijuana has not been very good either. So it's hard to find a bright side for this guy.
Well, I guess for all that you have pointed out in this piece, for all that you've pointed out is going against good sense, logic, experience, history, economics, motivation, things along that order, it'll probably pass both houses of Congress with flying colors.
I don't know. I mean, part of what I was trying to do with this piece is, you know, some of the GOP opposition is focusing solely on the cost of the bill. And, of course, it would be wasteful spending. But there's so much evidence that these programs have actually harmed the trainees for decade after decade after decade. And there's nothing that Obama is offering that has not been tried several times before and failed. So basically what the politicians of both parties would be doing if they pass this is basically saying, screw you to young trainees.
Well, you could also say, too, in that regard, that this is practicing the same principle that we've learned is the definition of insanity, doing yet still another similar program over and over and over again and expecting different results. And as you point out in the piece, every time this has been tried, the results have been at least as bad, if not worse, than the last time it was tried. So what's the point? Originality is certainly not an earmark of this administration. I can't imagine that they are hiding some brilliant idea there in the background waiting to unveil it at a future point.
That's putting it very kindly. There's not any evidence that these folks have a better idea. Instead, what they have is some new slogans, but this is what's driven job training programs since the 1970s. Every few years, they have a new title, a new slogan, and they throw out their previous programs and put in new ones and pretend that's going to solve the problem. But it's so utterly cynical by both parties in Washington. Because, again, this is a photo opportunity that both parties exploit, it's hard to find many politicians who seem to give a damn that these programs fail the trainees.
Well, I guess the failure of the trainees doesn't really give the current crop of politicians the opportunity to demagogue the issue in a way that would be meaningful to the population. Right now, the emphasis is all on money and the lack of it and all the rest. On one hand, you've got the president out there stumping around saying that everything from jobs and insurance and acne is going to be cleared up by virtue of this jobs bill. And all the other writings, you know, are focusing on the fact that, well, as you, except for yours, focusing on the financial aspect. And yours is bringing forward the fact that, you know, this is a study in futility, stupidity, and incompetence. So I don't know. Maybe there's a big market for stupidity and incompetence. They are trying to grow the government, James.
Well, I think you're right, and it's unfortunate that the hard evidence is simply brushed aside. Because this is the thing that people should be arguing about. Is there any evidence that the Labor Department could get it right this time? If there is, bring it forward. But
you're going to have to write a lot shorter articles in order to be able to get
that's true. You
break this down to about two or three sentences.
The thing I should have done is had more details on that nude sculpture class at Cedar Ranch.
maybe a few pictures. That would have held their attention. Well done, James. Always an education, as well as an pleasure sitting here yapping about this stuff. Hopefully, some sensible people up on the Hill actually read it and are going to use the information to move this thing in a different direction. But I suspect I'll be quaffing. What was the name of that beer?
Raging Bitch.
I'll be quaffing Raging Bitch before that happens.
That's a great closing line. It worked.
Well, let's hope. We'll talk again soon. Thanks again for your time, Jim.
Hey, thanks, Brian.
You bet. Jim Bovard, What Job Training Teaches, Bad Work Habits is the Answer. You can catch the article up on our website at WSBD.com.